Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yivamei's Daf Yutes. We are in the midst of the sugya of Ishus Achiv Shloi Haya Baylamai. So Reuben passes away, Shimon then is born. We learned from a pasuk that Shimon, since he hadn't really experienced Reuben in his lifetime, look, the whole point of Yibum is to take over, to continue, to resume Reuben's household, to take over his marriage, so to speak. Now, Shimon never really lived together with Reuben at the same time. He doesn't have that ability to take over for Reuben to be miyabim Rachel, who is Reuben's widow. We learn this from a pasuk, Ki yeshvu achem yachdav, shehoysa lahem yeshiva achas bo'ilam. Now, as we began yesterday, actually we have a machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. To what extent do we apply the halacha of Eishes Achiv, the wife of his brother, Shloi Hoye Ba'alamai, who he did not live with him together in the same, at the same time, that Isha, that widow, is disqualified from Yibum? To what extent do we apply this halacha? According to Chachamim, in all cases, according to Reb Shimon, there is a limited application. In some cases, This halacha does not apply. So let's go down the cases. We have a simple, a straightforward case where Reuben passes away and then Shimon is born too late. Eishes achiv shaloi hoya ba'olamai. Certainly, according to all shittos, Rachel, Reuben's widow, is disqualified from Yibum. Shimon cannot approach her and do Yibum. That's pashut. What about if there were three brothers? Reuben passes away without children, leaving behind Rachel as a Yavama to Shimon, the surviving brother. Then, a new arrival comes into town, Levi is born, and joins the family. Here we have a Machlekes. According to Chachamim, even in this case, Levi never saw Reuben. So he cannot ever engage with Rachel, the wife of Reuben. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, we look at it differently. If Shimon, the surviving brother, who actually experienced Reuben in his lifetime, if he actually takes over and marries Rachel, Levi can now sort of ignore the fact that Rachel was previously married to Reuben. As far as he's concerned, Rachel is Shimon's wife, with whom he had a relationship. He saw Shimon. He lived with him at the same time. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, if Shimon passes away without children, now Levi can be miyabim. Even Rachel, because she's now considered Shimon's wife, and no longer carries with her that history, that past history, being Reuben's wife as well. So as far as Levi's concerned, she's Shimon's wife. He doesn't have to reckon with the fact that she was once Reuben's wife. Now we have two possible scenarios in this regard. Reuben passes away without children, leaving behind Rachel. Shimon now is miyabim Rachel. And then Levi is born and finds Rachel married to Shimon. In this case, Rabbi Shimon says, Levi can be miyabim Rachel if and when Shimon dies without children. Because as far as he's concerned, Rachel is Shimon's wife, not Reuven's. Even in this case, Chachamim disagreed. No, the fact is he has to reckon with that prior history, the fact that she was once Reuven's wife, whom he didn't see. What about the following case? Reuven passes away without children, leaving behind Rachel. He has a brother, Shimon. But before Shimon gets a chance to do anything to Rachel, Levi is born. So Levi arrived before Yibum. Noilad v'achakach Yibim. First Levi arrives, and then Shimon is miyabim Rachel, Reuben's wife. And then Shimon passes away without children. Even in this case, says Rabbi Eishiya, Rachel is mutter to Levi, according to Shitas Rabbi Shimon, despite the fact that he experienced her. He noticed her when she was not yet married to Shimon, when she was still identified with Reuven. Nevertheless, since Shimon took over for Reuven, he married Rachel. She's now considered Eishes Shimon, and Levi no longer has to reckon with the fact that she was once married to Reuven. So Rabbi Yoshe tells us that even in this case, Rabbi Shimon is mater, allows Levi to take over, to be miyabim Rachel, Reuven's former wife, that was now married to Shimon, despite the fact that Levi arrived before she actually got married to Shimon. The fact that Shimon took over, she's now being relabeled. She now identifies with Shimon, not with Reuven, and Levi can proceed and be miyabim her if and when Shimon passes away. Now why? How does this work? So in the first case where Shimon married Rachel and then Levi arrives, I understand. Levi never saw her as Eshes Reuven. As far as he's concerned, she's Shimon's wife. Okay. But what about in the case where he arrives, Noilad v'achakach Yibam, and then Shimon does Yibam? He saw her when she was in a widowed state. She was Eshes Reuven. How can you ignore that fact? And then what it tells us, well, apparently Reb Shimon holds Zika Keknusa, the fact that she was bound to Shimon. She was meant for him. We consider that as though she was actually married to him. So now when Levi arrives, even prior to Shimon's being Miyabim Rachel, she's considered Shimon's wife. And Levi doesn't have to reckon with the fact that she was once Reuven's wife, Reuven who he never saw. No, she's Shimon's Yibama, she's Shimon's Zekuka, and Zika is Keknusa, it's as though she was actually married to Shimon. And now when Shimon passes away, he's free to do Yibam. He can just treat her as Eshes Shimon. Asks the Gemara, let's go back a little bit to 11 lines from the bottom. Maske Flora of Yosef. How can you say that, according to Reb Shimon, the mere fact that she was zokuk, she was bound to Shimon, considers her to be married to him, as though she's knusa? Maske Flora Rav Yosef, asks Rav Yosef, ashto ziko mamar. Look, in the following brice, we will see that according to Reb Shimon, even both elements, Zika being bound and obligated to be Mesiyabim to you, and also Mamar, which is a sort of Kiddushin that a Yavam may do to a Yavama. That works with the Rabbanon, some sort of semi-connection there. Both elements together, both ingredients, Zika and Mamar, Mesapkele the Reb Shimon, even then Reb Shimon is unsure, he has a Safek whether Ike Knusa Damya, I love Ike Knusa Damya, whether or not we consider her to be completely married to him and connected to him. Even when both elements are present, Zika and Mamar. Zika l'chudam v'boye. Can you even contemplate that merely Zika, merely being bound to him, should be considered like Knus? How can you say that? Where do we find this suffix, according to Reb Shimon, in the following brice? Mayhi. Isnan, we have a brice, a Mishnah. Shloish Achen, three brothers, Reuven, Shimon and Levi. Nesuin, Shalish, Nashim, Nachriya is married to three unrelated Nashim. Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon to Leah, Levi to Bilhah, unrelated, total strangers. Umeis Echad Mehem, Reuven passes away. Vasa Basheni Mamar. Shimon didn't get to do Yibam to Rachel, Eshes Reuven, just Mamar, sort of a pseudo Kiddushin. Umeis, and then he passes away, leaving behind his own personal wife, Leah, and also Rachel, who was somewhat involved with him. In this case, only Chalitza and not Yibam will take effect, will take place. Why? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Umeis Echad Mehem. One of the brothers passes away, Yivama Yava Yala, Yibam is fulfilled. And we learn, Rashi says, it's the Rabbanam, perhaps it's an Asmachto. Misha Leah Zikas Yava Mechad. Only a Yivam who is bound to Yibam on one account. She has one reason for Yibam. Her husband passed away. Then Yibam is applied. As opposed to a case where there are two reasons for Yibam, such as in this case. Rachel is bound to the sole surviving brother Levi on account of her first husband Reuven, who passed away without children. And also on account of Shimon, with whom she had some sort of relationship, the Mama relationship and Zika relationship. So now there are two reasons for her Yibam. She's disqualified from Yibam in this case, she and her Tzora is affected as well, as Rashi explains. The whole household is affected. That is Shitas, Tanakamo, Shitas Chachamim. Mamar makes some sort of semi-connection. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. He holds like this. One or the other. Either Mamar makes a full connection, we treat Rachel as though she's really married to Shimon, or there's no connection whatsoever. It's not a 50-50. It's not a pseudo-connection. It's not a miktsas connection. Either all the way or nothing. Rabbi Shimon Omer, therefore, we say like this. Miyabim leizeho men sheyirtza. Levi can do yibim to any one of these women, Rachel or Leah, v'choyetz l'shnia, and thus chalitza to the other one. So again, Reuven passed away, leaving behind Rachel, who had a mamar procedure done with Shimon. Shimon passes away, leaving behind his own personal wife, the veteran wife, Leah, and this new Yivama, Rachel, with whom he had some sort of interaction. Levi now does Yibum to one of them and Chalitza to the other. Why? Yibum itavari lo, you can't do Yibum to both. Assuming that they're both Shimon's wives, and in that case, you only do one Yibum to the entire household, and you exempt everybody. You can't do that. Maybe Rachel's not part of Shimon's household. Sorry. You can't do Yibum to both. Yibum itavari lo, you can't do Yibum to both Rachel and Leah. Maybe she is part of his household, in which case, you only do Yibum on one. The Duma Yesh Zika, perhaps the fact that Rachel was bound to Shimon makes her connected to him, makes her as though she was married and entered his household. Now you have two women belonging to the same family, Rachel and Leah, where of course you only address one and the other one automatically is exempted. You never do Yibum to two Yivamis from the same family. So that's not an option. What about Yivum Ichada? Doing Yibum on one and exempting the other? That's not an option either. Because maybe Rachel is not part of this family. The Duma Einzika. Maybe we don't say Einzika Keknusa. We don't say the fact that she was bound to Shimon makes her connected to him. In which case, she's not really part of Shimon's household. Rachel belongs to Reuven. And Leah is Shimon's Yivama. Vavalu Shte Yivamis Habois Mishnei Batim. You have two Yivamis hailing from two households. Each one is to be addressed separately. And therefore, says Reb Shimon, you know what? Do Yivam to either one, but do Chalitza to the other to address all possibilities. So that's the end of the Braisa, the end of the Machloikis Reb Shimon Rabbanon. Now, it pertains to us as follows. Alma, it's pretty clear that Masabkali, Reb Shimon is not sure how to treat Zika and, remember, there's Zika and Mamir. Perhaps it doesn't really create a proper connection. So how can we say that according to Reb Shimon, Mir Zika is Kiknusa? Perhaps you'll say, not Torah. Zika makes a proper connection. And that explains Reb Shimon by Yeshu Sachav, Shalai by Lama, even if Reuben passes away. And then Levi is born, and only then is Shimon Miyabim, Rachel, Reuben's wife. No, Levi can just consider her as though she was Esha Shimon all along because Zika Kiknusa. Perhaps that's how we look at it in HaTorah. V'chi teimim v'day ra'isa, ha'chanami d'miyab mochado, u'mifter ochado. In the case of the three brothers that we just discussed, Zika's total connection. So in which case, Reuven passes away, leaving behind Rachel, who was zakuk to Shimon. And then Shimon passes away, Levi can be miyab in one, and everything's okay. Because the fact that Rachel was zakuk to Shimon, makes her like his wife, part of his household, part of his mishpacha. When I tell you take one yibum and the other one is pater. Umu derabbanu de aser, it's only the derabbanu that we don't allow it. Gzeira mishum, we're concerned about a different case. Mishum shema yaimru, perhaps people will extend this halacha elsewhere and apply it to a case of beiz yivamis habois mishnei batim. You have two yivamis hailing from two families. And Rashi explains, two brothers who passed away simultaneously. You have Reuben and Shimon and Levi. Reuben had Rachel, Shimon had Leah. Reuben and Shimon died at the same time, the same moment. And now, Levi is faced with two potential Yevamis, Rachel and Leah. Right, brothers who live with each other by Lama, there's no issue of Lohei by Lama. Three brothers living together, Reuben and Shimon passed away the same moment. Levi is now faced with Rachel, Reuven's wife, Leah, Shimon's wife. Now, since they died at the same moment, there's no Zika Keknusa. You can't say, well, one of them is married to, it's as though she's married to Levi. Sorry, married to Shimon. And now Shimon passed away, leaving behind two wives. Reuven and Shimon passed away at the same moment. Right? So Rachel, who was Reuven's wife, and Leah, who was Shimon's wife, both fell to Levi at the same moment. There was no Zika to Shimon at all. If Reuven passes away, and Shimon and Levi are here, so you can say perhaps Rachel's wife is Zakuk, the Zika Keknusa to Shimon or to Levi. And then when Shimon passes away, says, oh, he left behind two wives. His own wife and Rachel, Reuben's wife, who was zochuk to him. But not in this case, where Reuben and Shimon passed away at the same moment. So Rachel, who was Reuben's wife, was never zochuk to Shimon. So now we have Rachel, who needs her Yibum, on account of being Reuben's widow. And we have Shimon's wife, who's Leah, who needs her own Yibum, on account of being Shimon's wife. Two separate Yevamos from two separate households. But people might think, well, in this case as well, we'll say Zikil Keknusa, and they're both sort of part of the same family, both sort of part of Shimon's family, and they'll say Chada Meyabma, will do Yibum to one, Vechada Mifter Ruvlei Klum, the other one will be let go without anything. So on account of this possible confusion, we make a gzera and we say, you know what? Even in a case where they didn't die at the same moment. In our case, of three brothers who passed away one at a time. Well, we could say Zikuk Knusa. Reuben passes away, his wife Rachel is Zakuk to Shimon. So she's married to Shimon. Now when Shimon passes away, it says, oh, he left behind two wives, Rachel and Leah. Really, we only have to address one out of the two. You've always from the same household. But we're concerned about a Gzera, a case where Reuben and Shimon will pass away at the same moment. In which case, Rachel, who was Reuben's wife, was never Zakuk to Shimon. He was gone at the same moment. So we have Rachel, Reuben's wife, Shimon, his own wife, Leah, both falling to Levi. Each one needs to be addressed separately. So in that case, you can't just do one and point to the other one. So on account of that case, we say, you know, in all similar cases, we address both Yevamos. That's from the Rabbanan, by Matt Torah. In concept, of course, Zika is sufficient connection. And Zika is Keknusa, and that explains Reb Shimon Shita by Ishis Achav Shalai by Lamay. Is that so? Can we suggest that pshat? Can't say that. Why? Well, time of the Reb Shimon, it's very clear from this brice, the reason why Reb Shimon holds that we do Yibam to one and Chalitza to the other, in the case of the three brothers, Reuben passed away. Rachel was Zakuk to Shimon, who did Mama to her. And then he passes away, leaving behind his own personal wife, Leah, and Rachel, this Yivam. Reb Shimon says, you know, do Yivam to one and Chalitza to the other. The reason why he holds that Shita is not because Gzera, as we just explained. It's because he's not sure. He's not sure whether Zika and Mamar make a proper connection. He's a Sofik. It's pretty clear that Reb Shimon's reason is based on the Shaila of whether Mamar is a proper connection or not. If it's a proper connection, then Rachel is considered connected to Shimon and part of his household, in which case Levi only does even to one of those two Yevamos. On the other hand, maybe Zika and Mamar is not an effective connection. In which case, although Rachel did Mamar with Shimon, she doesn't identify with Shimon. She's still considered Reuben's wife. In which case, Levi is now faced with two Yevamis coming from two households. That's a fundamental question of the value of Mamar. The Sanya, as we find in the Brisa itself. Shimon turns to him and says, look, why are you disqualifying Rachel and Leah from Yibim and Chalitza? From Yibam. Why are you disqualifying them? Is Mamar an effective connection or not? If Shimon's Mamar to Rachel is considered a proper connection, then Eisha Sheni Huboyo. Then Rachel is considered Shimon's wife. Shimon leaves behind Rachel and Leah. In which case, Levi now does Yibam to one. If Shimon's Mamar is not an effective connection, well, then Rachel still considered Reuben's wife. Eishes Rishnu Boil. He's doing Yibam to Reuben's wife. Man of Shach, you're okay. Do Yibam to one and Chalitza to the other. As we explained, we want to cover all possibilities. But don't disqualify them. It's either or. Apparently, Chacham hold, it's somewhere in the middle. Mamar is like some sort of Miktsas connection. In any case, that seems to be the Machlekes. But it's pretty clear that according to Reb Shimon, we have a Suffolk as to the value of Mamar with Zika. And how can you say that according to Reb Shimon, Zika Kiknusa? Amalei Abaye, says Abaye to Rav Yosef. V'loishanilach. Can't you make a simple connection, a simple distinction? The big difference between our case and the case in the Mishnah there. V'loishanilach ben zikas yavam echot. When there's one yavam standing here, that zika is a proper commitment. It's personal. She's meant for him. You can say zika kaknusa there. And that's the case of our Mishnah. By Eshes Ochev Shloi Hei by Lamai. Reuven passes away without children. Shimon is the sole surviving brother. Yavam Echad. She is Zakuk to him. So that she connected to him. And now when Levi shows up, even before, even prior to Shimon's Yivam, Levi can treat her as though she's married to Shimon. Because there's only one Yavam. Well, Zika Shnei Yavam. How can that be compared to the case of the other Mishnah? We had three brothers, in which case Rachel. Reuven's Almana is now standing in front of two brothers. It's not personal. She doesn't really identify with either one. So in that case, perhaps Zika is not a proper connection. Perhaps, when does Reb Shimon say Zika Keknusa? When there's one brother. When there are two brothers, it's different. Is there any difference between one and two according to Reb Shimon? By the time we find the Brayis, there's no difference. Klal on Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon presented a general klal when it comes to the halacha of Eishes Achiv Shloi Hayibay Lamed. So we have Reuven who passes away, leaving behind Rachel. Kol Shehaleda. If Levi's arrival, Koydemes Lanasuin, precedes Shimon marrying Rachel, Reuven's wife, Loi Choletes, then when Shimon passes away, she's not roi for anything to Levi because she was Reuven's wife, whom he didn't see. But Nisuin Koidim Leida, but if Shimon is Miyabim Rachel, Reuven's wife, before Levi arrives, then when Shimon passes away, Levi can treat her like Shimon's wife, Chalitza, Yibum, whatever goes. That's the price. My love, Yehu Mechot. Shall we not assume that we're speaking about only one brother who's available for the Yibam Shimon. And still, what do we see? Reuven passes away, leaving behind just Shimon. Levi shows up. Levi is born before Shimon's Miyabim. What does the Brayis say? He can't do anything. So you see that even with one Yavam, you don't say the fact that she was bound to him. We consider Rachel to be Shimon's wife, in which case Levi can ignore the fact that she was once Reuven's wife. No, we don't say that. Perhaps we're speaking that there are two potential Yavamim, two brothers standing here. It's not personal. You don't say Zika Keknus. Avol B'Yavam Echad Mai. But what are you telling me that if it's only one brother? In this case, we say that she is connected to him. And even if this new brother arrives, before any Yibum is committed, then when Yibum is done, by this brother Shimon, and then he dies, Levi can be Miyabimer because he can treat her like she was merely Shimon's wife. Is that true? One Yavam is different? If that's the case, why didn't the Brayis just say it? When we're looking for a case where Rachel will then be able to proceed and marry Levi, the newly arrived brother, what do we say? It's in a case where Nesuin, Shimon's marrying Rachel, preceded Levi's being born. Then when Shimon passes away, Levi can treat her like Shimon's wife because he met her as Shimon's wife. That's the case where Levi can do Yibum after Shimon's passing. Why specifically in that case? The Brayis could have said a greater Chiddush. Lif like v'lis nibidida. We could have made a distinction within the first case. First case being where Reuven passes away and Levi arrives before Shimon actually does the Yibam. We could have said, look, there's a difference based on circumstance. In that scenario, in that type of case, we have two variations. One case will be problematic. One case, Levi can do the Yibam. V'amed v'mamur, when do we say that Levi can't do Yibam after Shimon's passing to Rachel, who was formerly Reuben's wife? When Reuben passes away, he left behind two surviving brothers, Shimon and another brother. In which case, the Zika was not personal and wasn't considered like a proper connection to him. And therefore, when Levi arrived before anybody did Yibam, he has to relate to her as though she is Reuben's wife. Avo b'yavam mecha, but if there's only one surviving brother who's a potential yavam candidate, even if Levi's born before anybody does yibam, she's considered connected to him. This is how she's Shimon's wife, and then when Shimon passes away, Levi has to treat her as such, and can do chalitza or yibum. Apparently it's not true. Even with one brother, we don't say zika k'knusa. Kula b'shnei yivamin k'mayir. No, the Brisa was just trying to present a case of two yivamin, which is a greater chiddush. Even then we say, well, in some cases, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no concern of eshesach shloi b'ilama, in the case where one of those two brothers did yibum before Levi was born. So we're trying to highlight this chiddush, speaking about a case of two yivamin, but perhaps, in reality, if there was only one yavam, in which case the zika is personal, so Reuben passes away, Rachel is meant for Shimon and only for Shimon, perhaps in this case he'll say, zika keknusa. And even if Levi is born at this moment, right now, he will be free to be miyavim, this isha, this Rachel, once Shimon does the yavam and he passes away. Really? Velamai klala. So why does the Brisa say, you know what? I'll give you a klal. When it works, when it doesn't. Depends when Levi was born. Before Shimon was miyavim, problem. After Shimon was miyavim, fine. Pretty clear that if he was born before Shimon was miyavim, that's a problem. Even if it's only one brother. You give me a klal. Straightforward. All-encompassing klal. This is the way it works. Apparently, even if it's just one brother there, the zika is not considered a proper connection, in which case if Levi arrives before he does the actual yibum, we don't say zika keknusa, and he has to treat her like Reuben's wife. Shalai ha'yibay lamin. So that's one kashan of Oishi who tells us that according to Rav Shimon, even in this case, of nuilad v'achakach yibim, meaning if Reuben passes away, Shimon is the surviving brother, but then Levi is born before Shimon proceeded with the yibum. Nuilad v'achakach yibim, according to Rav Shimon, says Rav Oishi, according to Rav Shimon, he can treat her like Eisha Shimon, and when Shimon passes away, he's free to do Yibum. We have a problem. We have a Brisa which doesn't indicate as such. Void, here comes another Kasha, Moser of Eisha. So Tosfos says before, it's Rabbi Eisha, now it's Rav Eisha, apparently two Amiraim, who will ask a Kasha. Rav Eisha will ask a Kasha on Rabbi Eisha. We have Aloha as follows. Gimel Achen. Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Shnai mehen esunash de'achayis. Reuben and Shimon are married two sisters, Rachel and Leah. Oy isha obita, oh, mother and daughter. So Reuben's married to the mother, Shimon to the daughter. Oy isha ubasbita, or a mother and a granddaughter. Oy isha ubaspina, or an isha and the son, the daughter of her son. Another version of a grandchild. Harei luchiltzis le'misiyabmis. So now when Reuben and Shimon pass away, Reuven was married to one sister, Shimon to the other. Or Reuven was married to a mother and Shimon to a daughter. Or Reuven was married to a mother, grandmother, and Shimon to a granddaughter. In this case, a surviving brother here can't do anything. Why can't he do anything? Because they're both zokuk to him. They're both bound to him. Mother and daughter. Two sisters. Mother and grandmother and granddaughter. So either way, he's stuck. He can't be miyabim either one because it's a kariv, a relative to his zikuka. In case of the two sisters, Rachel is a sister of Leah, who's also zakuk to me and sort of somehow connected to me. It's almost like my wife's sister. So he's stuck. You do chalitza, not yibum. Reb Shimon poiter. According to Reb Shimon, there's no chalitza either. Rashi brings, it's based on a pasuk coming up. So if both yavamis are here and they're relatives, they're both off the table. That is the halacha. How does this pertain to us? Very pashut. If we say that according to Rav Shimon, being bound to me for Yibam is considered a proper connection, as though she's mamish married him. So what's the problem with the two sisters? Reuben died first. Rachel was zakuk to me first. She's my wife. Let me do yibum to the first one. Let the other one go away. Let the other sister be potter. She's an erva to me. Because Rachel is considered my wife. Zikokiknus. Amar Amram. You're right. My poiter nami. And Rav Shimon says poiter. Poiter b'shnia. He means the second one to fall as poter. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was married to Rachel. Shimon married to Leah. Reuven died first. Rachel now is zakuk to the surviving brother. Zikuk k'knusa. She says, oh, she's my wife. Now when Shimon passes away, leaving behind Leah, sister, my wife, she goes away scot-free. That's all he meant. And it's based on Zikuk k'knusa. You can't say that. V'atanya, Shimon b'yte b'shtein. Shimon clearly says both sisters are poter. A marava. No. What happened was that these two brothers, Reuven and Shimon, married all these pairs. Two sisters, mother and daughter, mother and granddaughter. Each one had 3-4 wives. Reuven was married to Rachel, Shimon to Leah's sister. Reuven was married to a mother, Shimon was married to a daughter, etc., etc. When Reuven Shimon says, Poite b'shtein, the second one, he means, Shnia shebezugzeh, v'shnia shebezugzeh. The second ones going down the piers. The second sister that fell as pata because the first one is bound to the yavam, says, oh, she's married to him, the second one goes free. The second one of the mother and daughter pair, whichever one was neifel second, is pater, and so on and so forth. Shnia shebezugzeh, v'shnia shebezugzeh. And this is consistent. This is in line with Reb Shimon. That's the Zikuk k'knusa. The first one that fell, chapterayin, is connected. The other one goes free, being a relative of my wife. Says the Gemara, no, but it's not so. Katoy Rava bar bo zugi. Rava mistakenly learned the Mishnah there as follows. He thought that there were four pairs of Nasha married to these two brothers, mother, daughter, mother, sisters, etc. And therefore, when it says shtein, means the second one to fall. It's not so. Chada, number one. The ay katani. Mishnah clearly says it's either this or that, either two sisters or mother and daughter. It wasn't all at the same time. V'oid, another kash. Reb Shimon poite bar batan miboyli. Instead of Reb Shimon say, the second one is pata, which leaves room for confusion. What's the second one? What's going on? He should have just said, you know, we have four pairs of women. Sisters, mother and daughter, mother and granddaughter. Those four are pata. The four women, the ones that fell second, Liyibama or pata. When you say shtein, it can mean the second one, it can mean both. We're not sure what shtein means. We're speaking about four sets of women. Should have said Reb Shimon is exempting all four second ones. And here comes the punchline. V'oi Tanya. We have a Bryce that explains Reb Shimon clearly. We see where he's coming from. Reb Shimon, Poyte b'shtein, Minna chalitza minna yibam. Both sisters are potter from chalitza and yibam sh'ne'amar v'isha l'choysa l'etzikach litzra. Based on a pasuk. Litzra means companion wives. So the drasha is, at times you have two yevamis falling together, the sort of companions, and they're two sisters, such as in our case. Reuven was married to one sister, Shimon to the other, and they both passed away, and Levi is now faced with two yevamis who happen to be sisters. We learn from Reb Pasuk, they're both exempt from yevam or chalitza, they're disqualified. B'shah shanasu tzores zulazu. If they presented themselves as yevamis, in a tzara context, two sisters falling together from two brothers, lo yehelecha lekuchan afil ba'achas, man, you can't apply to even to either one. Reb Shimon clearly states his opinion, states his position. Then we have two yevamis who happen to be relatives, both are exempt. What do you mean? Zikil k'knusa, let the first one be connected and the other one set free. Clearly, Reb Shimon does not subscribe to Zikuk k'knusa. Oh, 1 second. Not so fast. Elo Marvashi, I'll give you a teretz. Eid nafal b'zechazeh. Who's to say how it happened? You're assuming Reuven passed away first, and Rachel was k'knusa, and then Shimon comes and passes away. No! Who's to say it happened incrementally? Eid nafal b'zechazeh. If they both fell one at a time, Hachanami, of course it would work. Zikuk k'knusa, the first one is in and the second one is out. Hachamayin skin, and we're speaking the nafal b'vasachas. Both yevamis felt the same exact moment. None of them got in before the other. Zikuk k'knusa is not applicable. Reb Shimon, some of the Krabi Seglili. Reb Shimon follows Rabbi Yasi, who says, Dama, you can work it out that it works exactly at the same moment. We have to take into account such a possibility. Based on the Gemara B'chiris, two animals are born at the same moment. Eshel etzamtzim, it can happen that two things will happen at the same very moment. And that's why you can't do yibum to either one, but if it happened incrementally. First Reuben passes away, and Rachel is now Zika Keknusa to Levi, and then Shimon passes away, leaving behind Leah, the other sister. Leah is exempt. So we don't really have a kasha from here on Rav Hoshea. Perhaps Rav Shimon does hold of Zika Keknusa, which was the basis of his sheet. But we did have one kasha, if you remember, back from that other brisa, which seemed to indicate otherwise, because we had a klal, according to Rav Shimon. The only way we can get around Eshes Ochiv Shaloi Hoye Be'elomi is if Shimon first marries Reuben's wife and then Levi is born, which would indicate that if it happened the other way around, Levi was here before Shimon actually took Rachel in, it would be a problem. Apparently we did not hold of Zika having the value of Keknusa, and that's the only remaining kasha which we hadn't really resolved. That's the only kasha on Rav Eshe. But now we have a dissenting view. Rav Papa Amar, he disagrees. He says, you know what? I disagree with Rav Eshe as per Shita Shripshim. B'yibim va'achkach nuilad polag Rav Shimon. Reuven passes away, Shimon is miyabim Rachel, and then Levi is born, and then Shimon passes away. Levi can be miyabim Rachel Eshes Shimon, because as far as I'm concerned, I never saw her as Reuven's wife. I treat her as Shimon's wife. But if Shimon had not done Yibum by the time Levi arrives, Noilad, and then Shimon is Miyabim, and Levi saw her as being Reuben's widow, he treats her as such. Leipalagrab Shimon will not disagree. It's considered Eshes Ochiv Shloi Hoye Boilome. The question was, if so, why do we have two Mishnahs? First Mishnah, the Perek speaks about Noilad v'achach yibim. Mishnah 2 speaks about yibim v'achach noilad. If this is true, that according to Rabbi Shimon, by noilad v'achach yibim, which is the circumstance in the first Mishnah, Levi born and then Shimon is miyabim, Rachel Reuben's wife, even Rabbi Shimon agrees to the Chacham that she's aser, then why even mention that case? But Tavai l'Rabbanan Itzrich, both cases are meant for the Rabbanan. Then in both cases it's Asr. So you'll ask me, why do you have to mention both cases? Say the greater Chiddush, and automatically you know the other one. Just state case number 2. Yibim va'achach noilad. But even in that case, Rabbanan says Asr. That's a great Chiddush. Just say that case. Even if Shimon was Miyam and Rachel, and then Levi is born, it's still awesome, because Levi has to address her prior history and treat her like Reuven's wife. That's a tremendous chiddush. Suffice with that. Why even mention that first case where Levi was born before the Yibum? Both are needed according to Rabbanan, employing the formula called V'loizu Asa Ketoni. Mishnah's presenting the cases incrementally. Not only in this case is it Asr, not only in the lesser Chiddush case, even in the greater Chiddush case where Shimon was Miyabim and then Levi was born, even in that case it's Asr. Okay, so that's why we have two cases. Tanya Kavasa Rapapa, now we're going to prove Rapapa's Shita. That what? That even according to Rav Shimon, if Levi was born prior to Shimon's Miyabim Rachel Eshes Reuven, he can't ignore that fact. He has to treat her as Eshes Reuven, and when Shimon passes away, she's Asr to him. The Ziyufta of Rav Eshe, and it's going to be a refutation of Rav Eshe, who indicated otherwise. Here comes the Brisa, which will feature three clauses, 1, 2, and 3. Shnei Yachim Bo'elam Echad. Reuven and Shimon live together. Umeis Echad Mem, Reuven passes away, but Lev Lad without children. V'am Adashen Yazeh. La says Mamar B'Yivimtoi. And Shimon was about to do Mamar to Rachel Eshes Reuven, V'lei Hispik Lasis by Mamar. Before he got around to it, Ad Shenil Le'ach, suddenly Levi, Mazel Tov, Levi shows up. Umeis and Shimon passes away, so no Mamar was done. What happens now? Rishona, Rachel, the first Yivama, is unsuitable to Levi, because Levi and Reuben had no relationship. It was Lo Yehoye Ba'ilama. Yoytzim Hashem Eishas Ochiv Shlo Yehoye Ba'ilama. So he can't be Miyabim Rachel Ushnia, the second wife, meaning Leah, who is actually Shimon's wife, well, she's a simple Yavama, because Levi and Shimon saw each other. Oy chaylatzes, and we see Abemis, you do either chalitza or yibum. So clause number one involves, okay, so there was no mamar done, straightforward, simple case. Reuven passes away, leaving behind Rachel, then Shimon passes away, leaving behind his own wife Leah. Levi, who actually arrived, right, so Reuven passes away, and Levi was born at that point. Then Shimon passes away, Levi can be Miyavim, Leah, Shimon's wife, but has to ignore Rachel, Reuven's wife. Here comes case number two, where there was a mamar done between Shimon and Rachel, Reuven's wife. Also a mamar. Reuven passes away. Shimon does mamar to Rachel. And as we explained, mamar is some sort of semi-connection. And then Levi is born. Oy, or alternatively, Levi is born, also a mamar, and then Shimon does mamar to Rachel. Umeis and Shimon passes away. Levi can't do anything to Rachel because she was married to Reuben, who was Lehoye Bailamai. In this case, all agree because she never actually married Shimon. So Levi treats her as Eshes Reuben. And the other one, Leah, who was Shimon's wife, is somewhat affected by Rachel because it was a mamar which sort of connected her to the household of Leah. So she's not exempt completely, but chalitza is done with no yibum. This is Shita as Chachamim. Rav Shimon Omer, he disagrees. He says, look, mamar is either all or nothing, as we explained earlier. And therefore, bi'asai chalitzasa shel achas mehem poter sarasa. He does bia or chalitza to one of them, and as he's going to explain in a second, we're speaking about which one, Leah, the veteran, bia or chalitza to her exempts Rachel. Why? Because mimanavshach. Is Rachel part of his household? So we have Rachel and Leah coming from the same brother, from Shimon. So bia or chalitza to Leah exempts the entire household. If Rachel is not really connected to Shimon because mamar is not a connection whatsoever, so Rachel is still considered Reuven's wife, in which case she's totally disqualified from Yibum to Levi, who never saw Reuven. But Leah, Shimon's veteran wife, is a regular Yavama to Levi, because Levi and Shimon live together. So the Bia Chalitza to Leah is the best way to go. It exempts herself, it exempts Rachel, but Cholas Labalas Mamar, should he do Chalitza to Rachel, who got Mamar done to her through Shimon? That's not so pashut. We get into problems. We can't say that Leah is now exempted because perhaps Mamar doesn't accomplish a proper connection, in which case Rachel didn't really enter Shimon's household through that Mamar. She's still identified with Reuven. So Rachel is coming from Reuven. Leah is coming from Shimon. And the Chalitza to Rachel can't be applied to, can't exempt Leah. So if he does something to Leah, that takes care of everything. But if he does something to Rachel, it's not going to address Leah. Okay, it's a side point. So we're done with case number two in the Brayso. So there was a mamar done. Case number one, there was no mamar. Case number two, Shimon did mamar. Here comes case number three. He did yibum. Reuven passes away. And Shimon does yibum to Rachel, Reuven's wife. Kansa, he did yibum. Umeis, and then Shimon passes away. And then Levi is born. So we have yibim, v'achach noilad. Oy, or, shenoyod le'ach, Levi is born. And then Shimon marries Rachel. Umeis and Shimon passes away. What does Levi do? Rachel and Leah are parted from everything. Why? Because Rachel identifies with Reuven, who never saw Levi. What about the third case here? Kansa. So we have three variations in this last clause of the Braisa, which discusses Yibum, that was actually done to Rachel, and a brother being born. We have three possible variations. Yibum and then born, born and then Yibum. And now comes the third case. Kansa v'neud l'yach. Shimon did Yibum to Rachel, and then a brother is born. V'achach meis, and then Shimon passes away. leaving behind his own personal wife, Leah, and Rachel, who he was miyabim. So we have a case of konas v'achach noilat. In the first case, it was konas, and then he died, and then a new brother was born. Certainly, he didn't see this Levi brother, didn't see Reuven or Shimon. Certainly, us. Or in the case where noilat v'achach yibim, he was born, and then Shimon was miyabim. So Levi actually saw Rachel standing. She was stranded. She was Ashes Reuven. Us. But in this third case, we have a machlekes. Konsav noyad loyach. Shimon was miyabim Rachel. He took it over. And then Levi was born. And then Shimon passes away without children. Vachach meis. Leaving behind Rachel and Leah. Shtem turis minachalitz minayibum. Dibra meir. Kontra meir, which is basically a reflection of Dibra chachamim. Even this is considered loyhoi by lomoi. Despite the fact that Shimon took over. He married Rachel. And then Levi was born. Doesn't matter. She was once married to Reuven, who didn't see Levi. So she's Aser and the Tzara as well. A Tzara's Erev. But Rabbi Shimon, Omer, no, here comes Rabbi Shimon. In this specific case, Levi can be Miyavim. Why? Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Hoylovabo, Matzah Beheter. Since when Levi arrived, he found Rachel, already married to Shimon. As far as I'm concerned, she's Shimon's wife. And she never presented herself to Levi Be'isr. She never identified with Reuven. As far as Levi is concerned, Meyabim Le'ezim and Sheyirtza Eicholetz Le'ezim and Sheyirtza. He's free. Levi is free to do Chalitza or Yibim to either one, Rachel or Leah. This is the only case where, according to Reb Shimon, Levi can proceed and do Yibim. Because remember, it was Kanas, it was Yibim, Va'achach Noilat. So now we're going to prove Rav Papa's Shita that only in this case. In fact, the Brisa separates the cases and sort of highlights this case as being the only case where Rav Shimon allows it. He's going to prove Rav Papa's Shita that only in this case where Levi first encountered Rachel as Shimon's wife, only in this case can he ignore the fact that she was once married to Reuven. Habava de Seifa Lamang Tanila. Why even mention this third variation of this clause of the Brisa? Right, we have three parts to the Brisa. No mamar, yes mamar, actual yibum. And in the case of actual yibum, we have three variations. 1, 2, and 3. Number 3 being a case where Shimon did the yibum, then Levi was born, and then Shimon passed away. Why even mention it? Habava the Sefer Lamang Tanila. To highlight whose shita we bring in this case. Is it to bring out Rameya Shita, who says in all cases, Asr, Asr, Asr? Let's analyze. It doesn't seem that Kontra made any difference between this case and that case. The fact is, if Rachel was once married to Reuven, she can't marry Levi who never saw Reuven. Irrelevant of the exact situation. Kontra is no difference between whether Shimon was Meyabim and then Levi was born, or Levi is born and then Shimon is Meyabim. It's irrelevant. If that's the case, why separate the cases? Why highlight that third case of Yibeim Va'achach Noilad? Le'ravinu Lesninu. In the third section of the Brayis, let's just mix together all three cases. In all situations, Rachel is off limits to Levi. Why separate? Apparently, we're trying to bring something out. Elo Lavdur Rab Shimon. Apparently, it's for Rab Shimon here. And it's coming to teach us, Dafk in this case, it's Mutar Kontra Rab Shimon. Be'yibeim Va'achach Noilad Polik. Only if Shimon is Miyabim and then Levi is born, no, does Rav Shimon allow Levi to be Miyabim after Shimon's death? But if Levi is born prior to Shimon's being Miyabim Rachel, even when Shimon passes away, Levi can't be Miyabim Rachel because she was formerly Reuben's wife and he encountered her as such. He saw her before the Yibim actually took place. Shemamino. This is a solid proof to Rav Papa's Shita. Only in this case, Rav Shimon not. So bottom line is like this. We have 4 possible situations with respect to the halacha of Eishes Achav Shloi Ba'ilamai. In one case, all agree it's Asr. Reuven passes away, and then Shimon is born. Of course, Shimon can't be Miyabim. Rachel Eishes Reuven, he never saw Reuven. That's clear cut. In the case where Shimon actually was Miyabim, and then Levi was born. Or Reuven passes away, Levi is born, and then Shimon was Miyabim. What happens there? According to Chacham, in all cases, Rachel is still considered Reuven's wife, and Levi cannot be Miyabim. According to Rav Shimon, there's a heter. In which case is Rav Shimon Mater. So if Shimon was Miyabin, and then Levi is born, according to Rav Shimon, Levi treats her as Esha Shimon, and he could be Miyabin when Shimon passes away. But if Levi is born, and then Shimon is Miyabin, even in this case as Rav Eshia, Levi treats her as Esha Shimon, because Zika Keknus, the fact that she was Balton, is considered a connection. She's Shimon's wife, and when Shimon passes away, he can do the Yibam. According to Rav Papa, and that's the Maskana Sagamara. In this case, even Rav Shimon would say it's Asur because he saw her stranded. He identified her as Ishas Reuven. And therefore, she's considered Lehoya Bailami. Omar Mara, let's just go back to the Bryce. In clause number one, we had no Mamar being done. But the Bryce says like this. Omar Hasheni Lasis Mamar Bivimta. Shimon wanted to do Mamar to Rachel the Yavama. Well, his classes Mamar Bivimta, but he didn't get a chance to do it. Ashnod Layach until Levi was born. Umayz, and Shimon passes away. What's the halacha? Rachel wasn't really connected to Shimon, therefore Levi can't do Yibam to her. Rishayna Yoitza Mishim Eshes Yach Shalei Bayilamai. Rachel is considered Lehei Bayilamai as per Levi. Ushnia and Leah, who is Shimon's own wife, is a proper Yavama. Eichai Letes, Emisa Bemis. That's the price. Why are we presenting it in such an interesting way? He wanted to do Mamar. He didn't get a chance to do Mamar. My Amad, my Lo Yehispik. He wanted to do. He didn't get a chance. I Avad. If he did the Mamar, Avad, he did. Vi Lo Yavad, Lo Yavad. If he didn't get a chance to do, he didn't do it. What's the deeper meaning? Ella, rather, Amad means Midata. He wanted to do it with her consent. For Lo Yehispik Midata. He didn't get around to doing it that way. He didn't convince her. Ella Baal Koch. He did it against her will. And it doesn't work. Mamar cannot be done against the will of the Yavam, but like a Rebbe. This is not consistent with Rebbe, who holds it to be an effective Mamar. The Sanya, we have a Machlekes, Ha'isa Mamar, Bivim Teshleim Midata, we do Mamar against her will. Rebbe Amir Kana, according to Rebbe, it works. V'cham Amir Lai Kana, according to Chama, it doesn't. Why? My time at the Rebbe. Why is Rebbe allowing it? Gomer Mebiya Divama. He equates it to the Bia with Yavama, just like over there, Ma Bia Divama Baal Karcha, over there works against the world. We learn from a Pasuk that it's effective Af Kedushin Divama Baal Karcha. Likewise, Mamar, which is a sort of Kedushin version of the Yavama, also works Baal Karcha. Rabbanon Gamra, Mi Kedushin Dalma, Rabbanon preferred to connect Mamar, which is a Kedushin for Yavama, from the general Kedushin. And we say Ma Kedushin Dalma Medat, it's like typically Kedushin. It has to be with the consent of the Isha, otherwise it doesn't work. Av Kedushin, the Yavama Midata here as well, even though the Yavama has to be done with her consent. Maika Miflegi, what's the deeper meaning behind the Machlekes? Why I prefer this or that? Very simple. Mar Savar, according to Rebbe, he holds Mila di Yavama. Mila di Yavama, Havalei Lameilav. We have two components by Yavama, two ways of acquiring the Yavama, Bia and Mamar. We learn one from the other. Just like Bia works Baal Karcha, Mamar as well. So we stay in-house, so to speak. Umar Sava, what does Rabbanon hold? No. Mila de Kedushin. Mila de Kedushin. Have a little melech. We're going to learn the Mamar, which is a version of Kedushin by Yavama, from the standard, typical Kedushin of a regular Isha. Just like over there, it has to be done Midata here as well. Okay, so we address that part of the Braisa. Let's move on to the next part of the Braisa. We're just going to go back and elaborate on a couple of points in the Braisa. We had in the middle case, Asur ba Mamar, Reuben passes away. Shimon did Mamar to Rachel, Reuben's wife. And then Levi is born. Or Levi is born before the Mamar. And then he did the Mamar of Achach Asba Mamar. And then Shimon passes away. Rishina, the first Yavama, Rachel, Reuben's former wife. She's disqualified from marrying Levi because Levi and Reuben never interacted. Ushnia and Leah, who is Shimon's own personal veteran wife. Can't have Chalik Yibam because there was some sort of new arrival in that family, Rachel, who did Mamar with Shimon. So she affects Leah because Rachel is Erva, Eshesachos Levei Lomei to Levi. So you can't do Yibam, even with Leah, you have to do Chalitz. Because Mamar creates that partial connection and she has one foot into the family, so to speak. Reb Shimon disagrees. He says, look, Mamar is either all or nothing. Either she's fully connected, fully integrated, in which case Rachel is no longer considered an Eishas Ochesh Levi Lame to Levi because she's part of Shimon's household, who Levi saw, or she's totally out of the household, and she's part of Reuben's household, in which case Levi's not a Leah, Shimon's own personal life is not affected. As we explained earlier, specifically to Leah, it's going to exempt Rachel. Okay, that's the Bryce. Let's try to analyze Reb Shimon's words. Reb Shimon ahay koi, which case is Reb Shimon speaking about? Is it on the case where Levi was first born, and then Shimon did mamar to Rachel, Reuben's wife? In this case, it's pashut that Rachel is not part of the picture. Rachel to Levi is Eishes Achiv Shlohei Beilamai, as we concluded before, because if there was a Noila, then them, Shimon did something to Rachel, Levi treats her as Eishes Reuben. Ha'amris, haven't you just concluded that Ben Noilad, when Levi is born, Uluba Seif Yibam, and then Shimon does something to the Ish of Reuben, Leipal, Rav Shimon? Shimon doesn't disagree. He agrees that she's an Erva. In which case, we have a problem on our hands. Because if Rachel is an Erva to Levi, and then Shimon does Mamer to Rachel, and then Shimon passes away, Rachel is an Erva to Levi, so she affects herself and her Tzara. How can you do Yibum to Leah? Right? Also, Rav Shimon says, you know, if you do Bia to Leah, she's Paita that Tzara, Rachel is Pater. She's Pater in any case, because she's so it can't be referring to that case. Ella, rather, it's going in the following case. Reuben passed away, leaving behind Rachel. Shimon did mamar to Rachel, and then Shimon passes away. Oh. So Shimon did mamar. Sorry, one more thing. And then Levi is born, right? So Levi and Shimon saw each other. And then Shimon passes away. Oh. So now, if Mamar is a proper integration, a proper kinyan, then Rachel was sort of married to Shimon before Levi arrived, and that's okay. Therefore, Shimon says, look, I'm not sure what Mamar does, but if it's an effective kinyan, then it puts Rachel into Shimon's household, in which case, she's Shimon's wife, and when Shimon passes away, she's royally Yibum to Levi. And therefore, we say like this, Cholas Labalas Mamar, Lunifter Tzara. If you do Yibum Achalitza to Leah, it addresses Leah and Rachel as well. Letzad, on the chance that Rachel has been fully integrated into the family. Two Yivamas from the same family, you address one, and the other one's Pater. But, if you do Chalitza to Rachel, we're not sure what happens. Leah can't be exempted through that. My Tami, you know why? I'm not sure what Mamar does. It's either all or nothing, either a proper connection or no connection whatsoever. So on the chance that it's not a connection, then she's not part of Shimon's family. My Tami, why can't addressing Rachel have an effect on Leah as well? Mishum Medahavit Sarah Vade, because Sarah, I mean Leah, is a Vade Yavama when Shimon passes away. She's a bona fide Yavama to Levi. Ubalas Mamar Suffolk. We're not sure about the status of Rachel. Rachel, who had the Mamar, is sort of questionable. Maybe Mamar is not a proper connection. And she's stranded. She wasn't really connected to Shimon by the time Shimon passed away. She was Reuben. She's still Reuben's wife. Because Mamar is not a connection. In which case, to Levi, she's Aser, because Levi and Reuven never interacted. A Safek can't exempt a Vaday. Right? Rachel is an uncertainty, Mame. We're not sure if she needs Yibum or not. Leah certainly needs Yibum. So if you address Leah, you took care of everything. But if you address Rachel, you haven't really addressed Leah. Okay, so that explains Reb Shimon's words in the Brice. The bottom line is, there are several cases of Eishes Achiv Shlohei Beilamai, where Reuben passes away and Shimon's born afterwards, he can't be Miyab and Rachel, because Reuben and Shimon never saw each other. If Reuben passes away, and we have Shimon, and then Levi arrives, now we have Machlekes. According to the Chachamim, even in that case, that Shimon actually takes over Rachel, Reuben's wife, Levi cannot be Miyab and her after Shimon's passing, because Rachel still identifies with Reuben, who he never saw. In which case is a mutter? So in a case where Shimon was miyabim and then Levi was born, it's certainly mutter. But in a case where Levi was born and then Shimon was miyabim, according to Rav Eishev, in this case it's mutter. According to Rav Papa, and that's the maskana of the Gemara. In this case it's also because he saw her. He was Matzah Be'isser. He found her before she was married to Shimon. He has to treat her as Reuben's wife, and therefore, because him and Reuben never saw each other. We actually discussed another interesting shaila regarding Mamar. According to Chacham, it's a somewhat of a partial connection. According to Rav Shimon, no, it's either all or nothing. And then we discussed Mamar Baal Karchoi. So we know that Yibam works Baal Karchoi. Kiddushin by regular Isha does not work Baal Karchoi. What about Mamar? But Machloik is according to Chachamim, we connect it to regular Kiddushin, doesn't work Baal Karchoi. According to the Rebbe, we equate it with Bi of Yivama, and Mamar will work even Baal Karchoi. All the best to you and much, much Hatzlacha.